Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, black people, we are the only people playing by the rules created by white people who don't follow their very own rules. We are the only people, black folks, who try to play by their rules that they created. But they, white folks, don't play by their own rules. And that's just the way it is. We are in a real bind at this time. We talk about the court system, how corrupt it is, what they do, how they do it. Everything is done, it's designed to affect black people every day. You have a court system that is so corrupt that nobody would believe that a court system is like this. If you talk to white people believe that the court system is honest. That's right. When you talk to white people, they'll tell you in a minute that the court system is honest. But that's not true. It's honest for them, but it's not honest for black folks. We as black folks, we're so busy trying to get these white folks to like us and be accepted by them that we allow our families to be destroyed by white folks. You see? And last week, a guy told me, he said, well, why do you talk the way you do? I said, well, if anything I say is not true, you have the right to call me out on it. I told him, I said, call me out if I say something that's not true. I said, we're dealing with a racist system, and we have racist judges, prosecutors, court-appointed attorneys. We have all that. We have all that. We know they're racist, but rather than stand up to them, we'll go hide in the corner until it's our time. And when it's our time, we want somebody to come out and help us. Let me say this. The cavalry is not coming. You see, when something affects one of us, it affects all of us. And we have to learn that. We have to stop hiding and saying things is all right when we know they ain't all right. You talk to somebody on the street, the first thing they'll say, oh, I'm good, I'm all right. You're not good. I don't, you know, you're definitely not good. I don't care who you are. You can have $1 million in your pocket. You are not good because they may attack you, but they may deal with your children, your children's children, your nieces and nephews. These are the people that they're going to deal with. These are the people that is affected by this. And they don't get this. They don't understand this. But it's reality, you know. We can't leave. We cannot leave those who have created this problem in charge and looking for a solution because they don't have a solution. You see, their solution is whatever the white folks say it is. See, the law system is like bleach. It works perfectly for whites, but destroys people of color. That's right. The law system is like bleach. It works perfectly for whites, but destroys people of color. And we allow it. We allow it. We allow it to happen because we sit back and say that if we don't say nothing or do nothing, they won't come after us. They are coming after us, whether we like it or not. That's what they do. That's their job. You see, their job is to destroy us. And now what they have done, they've put us in such a compromising position that we're destroying each other. You see, everything you see is happening is planned. And they executed it just the way they wanted it. It's unfortunate, but this is the way it is. We got to get better. We got to figure out how we're going to deal with this system. And we got to come up with some answers. Because they're going to do everything. When I say they, I mean the system. They're going to do everything within their power to neutralize you. To neutralize you. Destroy you. Destroy your children. Your children's children. Your future. They don't care nothing about you. Because they always say they got the law to protect them against anything you do. Let's say if a prosecutor sends you to prison for a crime that you didn't commit, and now they're trying to exonerate some of these people, but it's so many people. You see, when I was in prison, it was so many people who did not do the crime, but was sitting in prison. One guy told me, he said that he was a drug dealer. He said, I was a drug dealer. I said, you was putting poison in our community, right? He said, yes, he was. He said, but this is what happened to him. He said, he never killed nobody in his life. He said that these detectives came to him and told him if he did not on this situation, that he was going to give him a murder charge. Matter of fact, he told him, he said, I got two dead bodies I can give you. But I don't think you need but one. That'll get you put in prison for the rest of your life. He said, but I was going to give you two bodies just to make sure. And he said that we already got somebody who was saying that you was at the scene already. We already got somebody, another black person, that they would say that he would come and say that you was at the scene when this guy got killed in Detroit. This guy told him, and I didn't believe him. I said, well, I didn't believe that they would do something like that. You would send somebody to prison for the rest of their life on a lie? He said they do it all the time. He said they got people, black people, going around the police department. Police got black people going around killing people. I said, no way. Because I never thought of it like that. But he said, yes, they are. He said, I can prove it. And it turned out to be the truth. Because this one guy, they killed him over there in Oak Park, in the backyard back there. He had killed about 10, 11 people on the orders of the police. That's right. He had killed, I'm thinking, they said 11 or 12 or whatever the number was. It was an outrageous number. But they knew that he was going to. He was, that they could do it and get away with it. That's what they do. This is the system that we live in today. And they'll do it. They'll plant drugs. Drugs ain't nothing to be planted on you. When they plant bodies on you, that becomes a whole different ballgame. And trust me, they will. They will do anything. And when I say anything, I mean exactly that. They will do anything. You as a black person to pin your ears at. Because a lot of time, most people can't remember where they was at 4 or 5 years ago at 11 o'clock. You can't remember that. Well, I was at home. Do you have anybody to prove that you was at home other than your family members? Because they said, well, your family members are alive for you. But that's not always the truth. One thing that we have to do, we have to figure out a way. How are we going to stand up and fight back? We have to figure out a way how we're going to protect our children, you see. Because right now they're not being protected. They're way out there. They're in that lane right now that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to hear about our children being this far out there, And I tell you, as a parent, You see, you want the best for your child. You want the best for your child. You have to stand up. If you want anything in life, you have to stand up, work for it. You cannot get anything in this world without fighting for it. And sometimes we have to take a bullet for our children. We have to make sure that they're going to be okay. We got to make sure that they're not in a compromising position where we can't help them, you see. And to me, that's important. We have to be in a position to help, but it's strength in numbers. It's the numbers that counts. We have to get enough people together to do what we need to do and stand up to these people. And you got to have resources to fight. You cannot fight back without resources. And trust me, they are coming after you. They're coming because they know that you, person, will join them to destroy any black person that's trying to help the other black people. They know that. They know that you would even lie and cheat for these white devils so they can get black folks. Let me tell you about this quick case I had. They accused me of paying people to vote. I didn't pay them to vote. I didn't. They knew I didn't. I paid them to pass out flyers. So here's the scenario here. They're going to pass out flyers for free, and they're going to be paid to vote. Do that make any sense to you? They're going to work 3-4 hours out here passing out flyers, and they're going to do it free, but they want me to pay them to vote, where it only takes about 5 minutes. But this is the world. This girl, she went and told them that, oh, he paid me. But here's how they got me. They paid a guy $10. To say that I paid them $5 to vote. This, and they gave him a rock. They gave him some crack cocaine to go along with, you know. And people asked me, white folks bought this. And it got to be true. If he paid him $10 to say that the guy gave him $5 to vote, then it got, that didn't make no sense. But it's not meant to make sense. It's not meant to make sense. What we do today is, especially as black people, they know that we're so divided up that we will say anything for a few dollars. Oh, she was paid well, you know, the lie. She was paid well. But I'm good with that, you see, because here's the thing. I always believe this. Regardless of what you say and what you do, the truth gonna stand. You can taint it any way you want it, but the truth will still stand. It don't need no help. See, that's the difference. But when you're dealing with a corrupt system and you're relying on the truth, you know, you may not win in that court. That's why I have beat them three times, spanked their butts. Because I knew that the truth would stand regardless of what happened. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about the truth. The truth don't need no help. You see? And that's what I deal with. And that's all we've been so successful. They're always going to come. They're always going to present them. Because one thing about white folks stick together. They'll stick with a lie. You see, they'll stick with a lie until they die. They will believe a lie, and if they're in power, they will make sure you suffer behind that lie. This is how they operate. You see, this is the way they operate. And they've been operating this way for years and years and years. And we're so busy trying to be in their company. You see, we want to be just like them. It's just like when a black person becomes supervisor. he immediately started attacking black people. You see, Mr. Charlie, so-and-so is not doing his work, and he's not doing it the way you want him to do it. But that's just the way it is. But if you want anything in life, you have to stand up and fight for it. It's just that simple. We got a huge election coming up. The mayor himself, he's a move. I don't know what he is, but he's a what we call a person who has been robbed. And when I say robbed, he has been robbed of himself. You know, and like white folks, they know what they're doing. When white folks can't defeat you, they will always find a black person. That's right. When a white person, when the white folks can't defeat you, they will always find a black person, some Sambo, some Snowball, some boot licking, some butt kissing, buck dancing, black person. They can try out in front of you and black folks, and black folk would accept this behavior. And this is the truth. This is the truth. This man, he's a moving brother. You know, I grew up in Chicago. And I tell you this. By growing up in Chicago, the Muslim brothers would not tolerate what this guy had done. He's a straight-up sellout. The minister himself was at my home when he told this guy to run for mayor of the city of Benton Harbor, because he knew that I would help him on the advice of the mayor. I mean, on the advice of the minister. And he told him, he said, I want you to run for mayor. But he also said, this is very, very important here. He said, will you take care of the people? Will you take care of the people? Will you, he said it three times, will you? And this land, Sambo, first thing came in like, yes, I will. I'll make sure that we take care of the people. I'll make sure the people are taken care of. These are his words. The minister was sitting at my kitchen table along with this guy. This guy wasn't invited. I let him come in because he had never had a conversation with the minister before. So I let him come in so he can have, since he was a moving brother, I let him come into my home and sit and chat with me and the minister. The guy did. He sat up there right at my kitchen table and lied not only to me but to the minister. We know that he's a liar. We know what he did was wrong. We know that you can't do that. You know, he lied. In the first place, he couldn't wait to start kissing these white folks' butts. He used to go out of his way. Well, he's not used to, he'd go out of his way to find a white butt to kiss this guy, this Muslim brother, Marcus Muhammad. He goes out of his way to find a white butt to kiss. That's what he do. He kissed his butt, these white people butt so bad. But he thought he got slick, you know. He know black people ain't gonna say nothing. Black people ain't gonna open their mouth for nothing. They ain't gonna, you know, they about, you know, about two or three of them, they'll tell me, but they ain't gonna tell nobody else. This is how black people are. This is why black people are in this compromising position today. They're so busy doing nothing. Even the school system. Well, let me talk about this Garrett, this that. Cause we gotta beat him at the poll. We gotta beat him at the poll. You see, they're gonna do everything they can to cheat for him. See, when white folks want you in there, they'll do anything. Kill, steal, they will do anything, and there will be no consequences. There will be no consequences for these white people for doing such a thing. There will be none. Not, you know, nothing. And we're not going to do nothing, even though it's our children, We're not going to do a thing. All we do is sit around and complain to each other. There's no power in that. None. But we'll do it. So we allow this scumbag to destroy our city. He knew that the water was contaminated with lead. He knew it, but did nothing, said nothing. He knew that this water will hurt our children, and he did nothing and said nothing. Matter of fact, he went and called the press conference and told people that the water was all right to drink. This blind devil. He knew better. And yet still, you actually still got people who actually support. That's how black people are. They support the enemy. If you was going to help the city, you wouldn't get no support the way it is. That's just the way it is. So we're fighting a battle. We're at war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. We are at war. We're at war with ourselves also. You know, we're fighting white folks. We're fighting Mexicans. We're fighting Asians. We're fighting them Indians, them Arabs. We're fighting them. We're fighting everybody, including ourselves, because we have been robbed of ourselves. We have been robbed of ourselves. We don't even know who we are. Oh, you sit around, oh, I'm all right. You're not all right. So stop lying. You're not all right. You know, you are not all right. So don't act like you all right knowing that you're not all right. You see? But we sit here and do the same thing over and over and over again, get the same result, and think that we're doing something. We're at war, and it's going to be a bloody war. This is not going to be what you call a kiss and make up. It's going to be serious. By the time we get ready to have the war, we're going to be out of ammunition. We're not going to have any bullets, because we're using all the bullets up on ourselves. And this is one of the reasons that we have to change. We got to get a new mayor here in the city of Bendow. Now, I expect that even the next mayor be the same way. Once black people get in power, you know, it's the same, you know, formula. They use the same formula on all the mayors, all the black people. You know, they won't use it on me, you know. They know how to attack me on a different level, you know, because I'm a person to be reckoned with. You know, I'm not that everyday person that's singing a simple song, that's trying to get higher and higher. That's not me. I'm out here trying to build a foundation for the future of our children. And that's where I am at. It can't be no other way. And all you these elected officials, they want black people to go out here and vote and do this. You know, even though you go out there, you take your time, you go out here and vote, it's the same formula. It's really not the system. I mean, the person. It's the system itself. It's the system that have created this problem. And it's going to continue to create this problem. And you can almost bet your life, you know, until we get stronger. I believe there's strength in number. You know, it's 50 million black folks in this country. You wouldn't believe it. And we got that bottom 1%. Those are the ones who do the drive-by shootings. Those are the ones who are out here doing all these things to other black people. Those are the ones, the sellouts, the Sambos, the bootlickers, the buck dancers. Those are the ones that bottom 1%, you know. And they tell these athletes. Now, this is something, too. Then I'm going to bring in my first guest, Annette. I'm going to let her. Today is going to be a net day because I don't have her on a lot, but she has so much good information. I love it. But people like Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, Charles Barkley, Shaq, all these people, they can't even say what they want to say. If they say something about these white folks, if they say something about these Jews, they will come after. after them. And they have the tools to do it. One of the things I wouldn't do, if you had the money, I would try to enhance these communities. I would try to buy stores, gas stations, medical centers. I would build little shopping malls. Those are things that we can keep the dollar circulating in the community. You have to keep the money circulating in your community. If you're not circulating the money in your community will die. And that's why a lot of black communities, that's why you got these Indians, they're impersonating white folks. You know, they hate your guts, black folks. They hate you. Indians hate you. Asians hate you. Chinese, Koreans, white folks, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, all of them hate black people. They hate you. You know, if they have to choose between you and a white person, it's going to be a white person every single time. You know. And if there's going to be any money distributed, it's going to be all these groups before you, black man, black woman. But you don't know that. You so busy trying to be their friend that you don't know what to do. That's why it's important that we rid our community of all shambles, snowballs, bootlickers, butt kissers, buck dancers, black people. And whether we like it or not, we have to do it. And don't think about yourself. Think about our children. There's nothing more important than our children. We have to build a foundation for our children. And funny thing, it starts with education. You see? And whatever your children see you doing, they're going to want to do it. Because you really their hero. You may not know that, but you are. Whatever your children see you doing, that's what they're going to do. You see? So let's let our children see us reading a book. Let's let our children see us doing positive things among our community. Let's show them who we are. Let's make sure that we don't allow this butt-kissing mayor of ours get reelected. We have to stand up to him and these white folks. And these white folks is coming. They're going to come after anybody who talk against their boy. That's their boy. They own him. You see, they own him, his wife, and children. That's how they operate. So we have to make sure that we're doing everything that we need to do to make things happen for us. And it's not difficult. We just have to go out here and do all the things that need to be done. Making sure that we're on top of our program and put everything aside and think about our children. Our children is the future. We got to teach them. You don't have to settle everything with a gun. You don't. You don't have to settle everything with a gun. You can use the ballot. They have created this mess for black people. You can do it, but you got to want to do it. Black people sometimes don't want to do nothing because it's work, you see. And they got us. We got to get more people being teachers. We got more doctors. We got to need more lawyers. We got to get people doing, because that's the system. See, the system is made up of these folks. And then even these black lawyers, they scared to death. They scared to move. They're not going to move. But we got to do it. So on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, my very good friend, Annette, and she's going to tell us exactly what's going on. Annette, are you there? Talk to me.
Well, first of all, How you doing, Rilla Pickney? It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's my birthday today. And I just wanted to say, first of all, it's well, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that, and I let everybody know every day is your birthday. This is a day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it, and don't let no devil tell you only celebrate one day out of the year, okay? Celebrate every day, no matter what's going on, because he's going to even take the bad and turn it for your good. So now remember, we have the McDonald's Mondays where nobody go to any other fast foods on Monday, McDonald's Monday, no fast foods. Ticket Tuesday, no lottery tickets, no gambling, no tobacco on Tuesday, no tobacco product on Tuesday. Walmart Wednesday, do not go to Walmart, do not go to no Mart stores on Wednesdays. Thursday, do not buy gasoline and alcohol on Thursday. On Thursday, again, you can go any other day, but if everybody is actually operating together, no matter what city you're in, you're posting it, you even go down to the stores and remind all the people in the community and inform the people in the community. We're not coming to these stores on this particular day. And make sure that you put it on your calendar. Make sure that you put at the top of the calendar for Thursday, no gasoline and no alcohol. On Friday, this is super important. We don't go to no foreigners on Friday. And we only buy black. This has been Women's Month. And the black woman has so much power. When I'm looking at all of these G8 countries and all of this and how we're being left out, we're controlling those economies with going and getting our hair done, going and getting our nails done. This is how we have actually made them very wealthy. And even when we say, okay, don't go to their stores, they're not coming in our stores. So we're going to have to, and it's imperative that we make sure that anything that we don't have, we create it ourselves. Now, I am so excited. Again, one of the things I'm asking every single person to please be able to do is Google. This is huge. Google the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, LTD, Ansley, ANSLEY, Louisiana. Again, that's Davis Brothers Lumber TD, Ansley, Louisiana. A lot of people don't even understand what LTD is. Very seldom do you even see LTD. You see a lot of LLCs or whatever, but LTD, it means limited. This particular company was built on a family business model, and they made it LTD, limited to nobody but the family. So, again, it's very important that we understand financial literacy because we are getting ready now on April 15th. Please, all churches, it is imperative that every single pastor get every single church member, and whether these are the members who have gone away or the ones who have not joined or people or even lost sheep. We are fisher of men and of their soul, but one of the things that you're going to do is get this inheritance. Now, Reverend Pickney, I know you've been seeing these banks that have been falling. I mean, they are, we got the dominoes. And they are all lined up. And now it's just like, okay? This is huge. And again, this is very important. And I'm just going to tell all the black people, if you have any money anywhere, you may want to go get your money. I'm just saying, even if you want to put it back in after everything settled down, because they are going in right now and they are taking back everything that the devil has stole. And when you go on to the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, you're going to be able to see how many banks. They had over 13 banks in 1913. Now, again, this is so huge. This is so huge because what you're seeing, all the shell companies, the Pandora Papers, you're seeing the Pandora Papers actually being revealed to you in front of your face, and these were hidden documents, over 12 million documents that is showing you where the world's elite, these people have been stealing and hiding our money. Now, through the churches, please go pull your roles and start with your families that founded those churches, and we're going to start dispersing this money. We've been in touch with the whistleblowers. Please Google that, whistleblowers, the whistleblower program. The whistleblower program, again, is on YouTube. Please pull up all the information, lawyers. Please pull up as much information because, again, this is where every single body, like you said, Reverend Pinckney, we are stronger by numbers, but everything is already here. So whatever your talent is, and we are telling people don't limit your talent only to one. We're finding that people have a lot of hidden talents that have never been explored just because they haven't had the opportunity or the revenue to do so. We want you to know all of these companies that are folding, they are coming back to us, and then we want us to be able to be in charge of those companies. So, again, we want every single person to please come on board with us. And, again, I can never stress this enough. We need our black HBCUs. We want those founders of those particular schools. We want to be able to give them pensions. We want to be able to have free health care, free education. This was the legacy of Share Our Wealth. And I'm going to say to you, if we actually focus on making sure, just like you were saying, having our dollars to circulate, you know, when they were with the Black Wall Street and Davis Brothers, they dollar circulated over 26 times. And again, they were bringing in outside revenue as well, who were doing business with them. And this is a global company. So, again, we're not just doing business with other people. Other people are doing business with us back. And everything that's been wrongfully taken, and I really hope that we can be able to see in a twinkling of an eye. When people say it's going to take a long time, whatever come out your mouth, it come true. I can remember all of my life people saying we would never have a black president. But Barack Obama campaign was, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And we did twice. So, again, whatever come out of our mouth, the momentum will start picking up. We're asking people to blow the whistles. Please make sure that whenever you're seeing these protests out there in L.A., when you're seeing those protests over there in France, when they told those people they're going to raise the age from 62 to 64 before they can retire. I mean, everybody came out into the street. Let's make sure all these people get whistled. This is a, I can never tell you enough, this is a home-based business by selling whistles that you can be able to travel the world by selling whistles. This is an honest profession that is going to be able to transform our spirit, our future, and even the way that we are treating each other. So, again, thank you so much, Reverend Pinckney, for all of your hard work. Thank you for giving us this platform to express ourselves and to be able to, you know, have a renewed mind. So that's the only way that we're going to be able to move forward, is to have people like yourself who are the drum leaders, who are the forerunners, who are in the trenches, who are bringing us all together. We can have one vision, and when we get a vision and we write it down, we can be able to run with it. So this is our vision for the future. Please, again, Google Davis Brothers Lumber Company. This is Ansley, Louisiana. Make sure you star 67 your congressman with the Pandora Papers. No matter what city, state you are in, star 67 your elected officials. Tell them about the Pandora Papers. More than likely, because it's over 330 politicians who are stealing this money anyway. So they're trying to steal it. They're trying to hide it. They have a secret web of people and a network that they have this underground, but it has been exposed now, and we want everybody blowing the whistle.
And you know, that is so wonderful when you think about it, because that is something that we have to make sure we're doing. See, one of the problems here, a lot of times, people don't want to do nothing. They don't.
That's
know.
Right.
And to me, I mean, everybody can't do what I do. And I can't do
right.
some of the things that somebody else do. But we can all do
that's
something.
Right.
And the problem is, we don't want to do nothing. We want to sit back and do the same
right.
thing over and over again, get the same result, and nothing happened. That's our history. You know,
yeah.
400, think about over 400 years of this slavery.
Yes.
And we're still in slavery. And people
yes.
won't accept it. They think that everything is peaches and cream. I got a house, I got a car, I got the American dream. But think about your children. They don't treat you right.
right.
You know, you can't go to court. You can't go to court. Even though that you have a winning formula and win. You can't do it.
Exactly.
Because they don't want you to do that. They don't want don't want you to have nothing. You as a black person, they don't want you to have nothing. And if you don't
so
have nothing,
true.
They're happy. And it's and
yes.
but we accept, you see, and we let people push
exactly.
us around. Yeah. And it's an everyday thing, you know, and we think it's all right. And we love these people that have been selling us out. Especially if they get, you know, they pay them a little money so they can look good in the neighborhood and everybody like it, you know. That's a good looking brother, you know. Now he got a clean suit on, shoes. He got a car. He got he got the American dream, you know. And then sold you out, your children out, your family out, and everything else. And I love that no McDonald's, you see. But you
that's
know,
right.
if a black person want to go to McDonald's, I don't care. You could be out there picketing.
Right.
And say,
right.
Let me tell you this quick story.
Sure.
My good friend Belinda Parker Brown, her
yes.
niece worked for the K-Rail.
The coin.
Let me say this. Her niece worked for the A-Rab. She was a cashier for them. And this
mm-hmm.
A-Rab liked her here. He liked her. But she didn't want to, you know, go out with him and do nothing with him or anything like that. So one day,
mm-hmm.
him and her was inside the store. And what he did, he took his gun out and shot into the wall.
What?
And scared her half to death. Yeah. That's what he did. He took his gun out.
Oh.
And he shot it through the wall.
Oh.
And nobody said nothing. So Belinda came and got me. Belinda Parker Brown came and got me. I said, no, this boy is going to jail. You know, one, find
that's
a
right.
firearm within city limits. Two, find at this girl. Sexual harassment. You know, everything that you could think of. And we went after this guy. Here's what we did. We picket his store. We picket his store
yes.
until he was forced to close
yes.
down. Not only that,
that's
not
right.
that, he had two stores. He had two stores. We closed both of them down.
That's what
and,
I'm talking
and
about.
And ran that A-Rab out of here. Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, the kind of intimidation. This is what we're talking about. This is not, and it's worse now. It is actually worse now than it was during, during the civil rights.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take for against
us. We'll kill each other over nothing. You know,
exactly.
And they know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, one other thing too, I want to also bring to your attention, Reverend Pinckney, is that Fort Benning, Georgia, is going to be changing to Fort Moore and his wife. One of the things about when they did the George Floyd, they went around and they saw these different bases with the history. And I must say, within Columbus, Georgia, and I invite you to please go, and I'm quite sure it is on YouTube, the city council, how they have really went after the police chief, when in fact for crime prevention, they actually have a crime prevention guy. That's his job. That's not the police chief's job. And after he did, they said, well, you got 30 days to come up with a comprehensive plan. And then they said, we had a private company and some business people who paid $200,000 to find out what are the problems with the department. But these were the problems before he even came in. However, he came up with a comprehensive plan within the 30 days. He had nothing but standing room only. And the next day, they gave him a severance package and said, okay, we still want you to leave. Now, what is that saying? I mean, I'm just saying, what is that saying? And there are the NAACP and the churches and the blacks in the community. Where are these people? And he actually grew up in Columbus. So when you're mm-hmm. having this kind of disparity, these are the kind of serious things that must be addressed and it must be stamped out. And this is the same people that I filed the $400 million lawsuit. This is one of the blow-your-whistle-whistle-blower lawsuits that we got going on with this white supremacist and racism and bullying and violating people's rights. Again, domestic terrorism. This must stop. One of the things I'm very proud of, they are actually arresting those people and putting them in prison. I guess when they start coming after them up there in the White House, I only send some kind of message.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to see that. Maybe some of them will see that they are going to jail, and maybe that may slow them down. But as long as they keep killing black people, every time I turn on the TV, it's still more and more and more. I was listening to you talking about the other black guy that got that was murdered who had a mental illness, and then they had another. It's very disheartening to even turn on the news anymore or to read the paper, because we're being bombarded with this. And I just want to know, again, just like with Malcolm X and some of these other well-known assassinations, how much do the FBI and the police department are participating in these unknown shootings? And again, the mentality, even the mentality, I'm just going to shoot you if I can't run you. You know, this has got to stop. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So again, thank you so much.
We got to stop it. The system is not
going to
stop.
We're going to have to stop it. Where are our churches? Again, I totally agree with Belinda when she was saying we need to clean up our communities. That's number one. We need to do that ourselves. We don't need somebody to come tell us to clean up and stop the
years
so dirty.
So, like in Chicago, none of this stuff would be going on today.
Because there
was real fathers back there, real mothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the Deacons for the Fence. But I also have a friend of mine who has some water, and I want to be able to get in touch with you personally. I'm letting you know I'm going to be calling you, because she has a well. They're getting ready to go online, and I tell you, this is some real water. This is like from the old school water, and I want to be able to talk to you about that, okay?
All right, let's do it. All right now.
Okay.
Listen, you take care of yourself.
It's so good talking to you.
1 o'clock. All right now.
Yes.
All right. Let me bring in Belinda Parker Brown.
And talk to me, Belinda. What's going on with you?
Hey, that's a big thing. I'm enjoying the show.
Hey, it's going down. That's all I can tell you. It's going down, and we're not taking no prisoners.
Well, you know, I wanted to call in at the last minute, Pastor Pinckney, because, you know, I'm just really listening, and you know it's a lot going on, but I'm so glad you gave me the opportunity to come on the show. I was enjoying my sister Annette. She's right on target with what these people are doing, and I wanted to make it known today the police officer came by my house today. And I wasn't home when he came. You know, I got my cameras and stuff on, and so I was alerted that a police officer was at my door. And, you know, what happened was is that when I pulled up, you know, he came over to me, and it was very suspicious that he said that they was looking for a red truck, apparently a red truck with by the name of some guy named Todd, but he couldn't give me the whole name of the guy. So I was like, well, you know, and he said, well, this, you know, it led to your address. And I was like, well, why would it lead to my address? I haven't seen a red truck or nothing over here in my neighborhood. You know, what are you looking for a red truck for? So he couldn't tell me, okay? So I asked him what was his name and everything, and I told him that I'm going to follow up with the chief of police first thing Monday morning to find out why would he be coming to my address, okay? But, you know, all of that stuff is suspicious. First, they want to try to come by and, you know, like Sister Annette was saying is that, you know, all of these mysterious killings and, you know, and see, I know the work that I do in the community is very profound, and I'm very alert and paying attention to everything that these people would do and what extreme they would go to cover up their evil, wicked ways and the corruption and stuff that they do in our communities, okay? So I just wanted to make that known, Pastor Pinckney, that they're not catching me off guard, okay? I'm paying attention to everything my grandmother taught me how to do.
Amen. That's how you have to get. That's how you have to deal with them. Hey, it's no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Yeah.
And I got his face and
stuff on camera. You know, I got the vehicle that he drove. You know, how he parked in front of my door with a dent on the side of it. You know, his badge number and everything. So I'm not going to be caught off guard by this wicked stuff that they do.
Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the news. You got to stay on top of it. You got to stay on top of these people, because these people are for real.
Well, absolutely, Pastor Pinckney. And that's what, you know, that's the most, you know, thing that, you know, we have to be able to convey to, you know, our people. And then also, you know, like I know you got a lot of white people that support, you know, Banco and the great work that you do, Pastor Pinckney, but it's time for them to rise up to a whole nother level. If they really for, you know, defending and supporting, you know, our movements and for reparations or whatever it is to get this, get in front of this corruption and stuff that's been going on, this white supremacy and stuff like Sister Annette was talking, Queen Annette was talking about, you know, then they need to step up. They need to step it up, you know. So that's what I'm saying right now to our white counterparts, you know, our white constituents, you know, some of them married in my family, you know, but they just stand by with their arms crossed, leaning up against the wall like, oh, I'm so sorry that's happening to you all. You know, that's wrong, that's racist, blah, blah, blah. Stop all of that talking and start organizing and mobilizing and systemically, you know, supporting the work that we do across the board, you know.
Amen.
And that's what it's coming down to, Pastor Pinckney. I'm fed up with all of this talk.
And that's the way it has to be, you know. We know what we need to do, and we got to make it happen. So there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Well, I want to say that, you know, one more thing, Pastor Pinckney. Did you hear about the tornado? You know, all of those people that have died in Mississippi. That's another thing that, you know, it's a lot going on with Mississippi, the water crisis. And, you know, Stephen Harris came on your show, basically suing the whole state of Mississippi for, you know, the murder of his dad by the police. And, you know, it's just so much going on. But look what this tornado then came through and killed all of these people. You know, could it be that some of that stuff is by design? You know, when there's so much going on, they can just put a hurricane there and destroy and distract people and, you know, kill people and all of that, Pastor Pinckney?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, these folks can do anything. They got all kind of stuff that they can use, all kind of tools in their toolbox. I wouldn't put nothing past them. I wouldn't. That's me. I wouldn't put nothing past these people because they're evil and they're wicked, you know. And it's a shame of it all.
Suspect that they blew up the levees down here during Katrina. That, you know, that was a, you know, some kind of way that just faded out, you know, into the black, I guess, because it was said that, you know, that all of those people died during Katrina because they blew up the levees.
Yeah. Absolutely. You remember, I came down there after that and went through the ninth ward. Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. And it was so mad. I just couldn't believe it. But like I said, I wouldn't put nothing past these people. These people do anything, and you have to be prepared mentally to deal with them because they're coming, whether you like it or not. They're coming. They got friends everywhere. They don't even have to like each other. But they're going to come against you. I can tell you that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right, Pastor Pinckney.
Mm-hmm.
And we better be paying attention. You know, we better be paying attention because, I just keep constantly thinking about, you know, we're talking about, you know, the FBI and the CIA and, you know, the assassination of, you know, great people that came before us in the civil rights movement. And now it's coming out because of the social media and stuff that, you know, how all of this stuff was by design. It was all tangled up and tied up, you know, with our government to do these things, you know, to kill, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, to assassinate, you know, Malcolm X and, you know, and so forth. You know, you know what I'm talking about, Pastor Pinckney. They didn't just decide it and woke up one day that that's what they was going to do, you know. It was a plot and a plan all along.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what they did. They executed their plan. They did what they were supposed to do. Is the problem is we don't do what we're supposed to do. All we do is sit back and cry like babies, you know, knowing that these folks don't love us, knowing that these folks is against us. We don't need them. We can do whatever we need to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you know, Pastor Pinckney, I think the truth is coming out. The truth is coming out. You know, the Bible talk about in the last days, God say everything done in the dark is going to come to the light. And now and my grandmother said you can run to the hills, you can run to the mountains, you can hide behind the rocks. But you ain't gonna be no hiding place for you, and that's what's happening right now with people like you, the blog talk, you know, Pinckney, the Pinckney show. We talking about it. We putting them out there, Pastor Pinckney. They know who they are, you know, and sometimes we have to use proper pronouns on these people. We have to call them out. We have to say their name, you know, because they know who they are, and we're fed up with it. And they know we fed up with it, so now they know that we know that we're all about what they've been doing and thinking they're going to get away with it, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we got to make sure we're doing all the things we need to do. But listen, we have just about ran out of time. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, same number, same everything. The Pinckney Show will be on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tune in, and I will talk to you all very soon. Everybody have a great day. Great.